Good morning, everyone. Happy Thursday, March 10th, 2016. You are listening to the Fourth Estate Drive Time, and this is your host, Marty Duran. Fourth Estate Drive Time is brought to you by Jord at woodwatches.com. Unique, unforgettable, 100% wood watches. Check out Jord at woodwatches.com. There'll be a link in the episode notes. If you forget about it, there's a link in virtually all of the episode notes. And an ad in the sidebar on my blog at martyduran.com. And I think there's actually an e-coupon available to save $25 right now, if my memory serves correct. So you might want to check that out. I don't know whether you can combine that with the 10%, but it might be worth a try. Use the coupon code T4EPODCAST to see what happens. Big shout out to my childhood friend, Wes Wilkins, who is 50-something years old today. I assume it's 53. He's a few months ahead of me. So I will make sure that he hears this. Wes Wilkins, great man, wonderful friend. Happy birthday, dude. And now on to the big news that nobody's talking about yet, but soon people will be. This is a follow-up to the last podcast where I talked about the Somali drone strike and the 150 terrorists in training, as they were called, who were killed at their graduation ceremony, is how it was phrased. Good article in The Intercept, an analysis by Glenn Greenwald. Greenwald gets some amount of discreditation from those who think Edward Snowden is a traitor. Glenn Greenwald is the one who broke the NSA story a couple years ago. But I would encourage you to read this article because it examines who this group is and points out the fact that nobody really knows who was killed. There's no evidence. The government hasn't publicized anything other than drone strike, combatants, that kind of thing. And here's a couple of things that you need to know. If you haven't done much study on drone warfare, the United States drone warfare program was instigated under President Bush sometime in the second part, I think, of his second term. So with about 2 years to go, the drone program was instituted. And, of course, the security of drones for us is that there's no pilot involved. The human pilot is in a computer-filled room somewhere in Nevada, sitting back and, you know, essentially playing video games with live ammo. And they're able to see from many miles away through sophisticated cameras and such as that are on the drones, and they're able to launch. And so they use multiple streams of intelligence to determine where they want to launch a drone strike. And there have been numerous reports since the drone warfare became a thing that have indicated that we kill more civilians than we actually do combatants. And there was a lengthy investigation by a swath of international journalists about a year and a half ago, I think it was, in which they studied and documented every single drone strike that the United States had made. And I believe this was in Pakistan and Afghanistan. We also do drone strikes in Yemen, or have done them. The one yesterday was in Somalia, the one earlier this week was in Somalia, in a country that we're not at war with. And so it's worth investigating the history. It's not really hard. Connor Friedersdorf at The Atlantic has written a substantial amount on the drone war that the United States is propagating. So earlier this week, or end of last week, whenever it was, 150 Somalis or 150 people killed in Somalia via a drone strike. And as of yet, it doesn't seem that it's known who these people were individually. In other words, who in the group was the person who was on the watch list, who in the group was turned in by Interpol, who in the, et cetera, et cetera. So worth keeping an eye on that. The reason that this is particularly interesting is the group is called Al-Shabaab, and under the use of military warfare that was passed immediately following the September 11 attacks of 2001, and I don't mean immediately as in the next day, I mean in the aftermath, as we were preparing plans to retaliate, there was a use of military force that allowed us to go to war, or go to combat, I guess, against any known al-Qaeda affiliate, no matter where they might be. And if you'll remember, that was one of the great statements that President Bush had about our wars. We would go to wherever the terrorists were, and they wouldn't be able to hide. And so that was pretty much a declaration of going across international boundary lines with impunity. And only the CIA and the NSA and the White House and whoever else, the Pentagon, knows whether or not we secured permission from every state in whom we assassinated someone or killed them via drone. So this law that went into effect in 2001, the use of military force, indicated al-Qaeda and its affiliates. Well, al-Shabaab wasn't even in existence in 2001, so there's no way it could have been covered under that law. And I don't know if it's considered, quote-unquote, an al-Qaeda affiliate now. But anyway, that might be something you want to keep an eye on to see how that evolves. I seriously doubt that's going to make big news unless it's trumpeted as we killed 150 terrorists in one strike. And that will be the way that it'll be handled. Follow up again on the Idaho pastor who was shot multiple times, reportedly, after a Ted Cruz rally. The suspected gunman is a former Marine named Kyle Odom. And Mr. Odom, when he was apprehended, it was realized that he was under a fugitive warrant from Washington, D.C., I don't know how old it was, but not just recent, I don't think, for throwing papers over the White House fence. So he apparently launched an attack on the White House by throwing his manifesto over the White House fence and then somehow escaped and was never apprehended until he decided to shoot a pastor in Idaho. And now he's apprehended and charged in Washington, D.C. and in Idaho. Now, here's the thing about Mr. Odom. He apparently had written in his manifesto, or that's not what, I don't think that's what they're actually calling it, but that Martians were in control of the Earth and had been for a long time, and names several United States politicians as being either inhabited by or under the control of Martians, which I have a hard time arguing with that, actually. He also thinks that a number of Israelis, including Benjamin Netanyahu, either have been controlled by or possessed by or whatever Martians for years and years and years, and they are controlling us by living subterraneously on the earth. So that guy is definitely having some issues, but anyway, just keep a lookout for Martians wherever you might go today. You never know. They could be Democrat or Republican. One final thing, a little bit of fact check here on the fact that President Obama is not attending the funeral of First Lady Nancy Reagan. As you may have heard by now, he will be keeping his appointment at the South by Southwest Music and Technology Festival, or maybe it's just technology this time around. I don't even know. Instead of going to the First Lady's funeral. And of course, he was pummeled for not going to the First Lady's funeral. From what I've been able to cobble together, sitting presidents don't attend the funerals of former First Ladies. And this is a tradition that dates back to at least Reagan. I know that sitting President George W. Bush did not attend the funeral of, I think it was Lady Bird Johnson who died. You can check that on C-SPAN. There's an article in Inquisitor, which is in the episode notes, that notes that Carter did not, Reagan did not, Clinton did not, when they were the sitting presidents, they did not attend the funeral of former first ladies who pass away. Tradition is that the sitting first ladies, the sitting first lady and the former first ladies who have survived, attend the funerals of former first ladies who have passed away. And in accordance with that tradition, Michelle Obama will be attending the funeral of Nancy Reagan. Now, the way this is being pitched, of course, in some media, is that Obama is going instead to South by Southwest, when the reality is he's keeping the appointment that he already had, and he's following the protocol that was in place before he assumed office, as is Mrs. Obama. So don't pay any heed to the folks that want to make you think that he's ditching the wife of the greatest conservative president. It's simply not the case. It's just tradition. So thanks for listening. This is Marty Duran with Fourth State Drive Time, a production of Roundtable Media Group. If you have a podcast, or if you're interested in a podcast, or if you have a blog and you'd like to be affiliated with Roundtable Media Group for the purpose of advertising and being promoted, then visit roundtablemediagroup.com or email marty@roundtablemediagroup.com and you can get some more information. Thanks for listening. As always, the Fourth State Drive Time is brought to you by Jord at woodwatches.com. Use the coupon code T4EPODCAST to save yourself 10% at woodwatches.com. And until the next time, I hope you have a fantastic day.